go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott Benjamin.
My name is Ben Bolin, and we are here in Atlanta, Georgia. Summertime, and the living is easy. Although, to be honest, walking out here is like walking into a bowl of soup.
It is definitely the heat of the year. I don't know how better to say that. It's hot, hot, hot. And you know what? We're going to get into this in a moment here, but there's some ways to save fuel that may involve the temperature you're feeling inside your car.
Yes.
And I don't know if I can, boy, some of these I'm going to have to disagree with. We've had lists in the past that, you know, I've said I don't really believe in this. And I think there's a couple here that you and I may have a problem with, just out of our own comfort.
Now, to be honest, these ideas of fuel tips, this comes from an article on our site. Mm-hmm. These fuel tips can apply in a general sense, as my podcast partner has mentioned. Our circumstances in our city, definitely this time of year, may change some of these for us.
And your circumstances may vary as well.
Absolutely. And so let us know. Mm-hmm. We'd like to hear about it.
Yeah, because some of these will work in some parts of the world and others won't. And honestly, you know, it's just kind of personal preference. I mean, these are the most basic things that you can do to we call it real ways. Our article is titled 10 Real Ways to Save Fuel. Mm. And, you know, honestly, it's a good list.
Yeah.
It truly is. And it's really, these are things that you could do to save fuel. There's probably more out there, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's just a common sense list.
There's a lot of goofy BS. And by that, I mean bull snot, ways that people will tell you can save fuel. Like, let's bust the air filter myth now. Mm-hmm. That applied once upon a long ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that one?
Sure.
That used to apply. But now with newer car models, I'd say from, what would you guess? Maybe 80s on?
Oh boy. I don't know.
But the point being that right now, changing an air filter is not likely to improve your fuel efficiency.
Well, maybe a little bit, not anything dramatic.
Yeah.
I think, you know, you do an intake system or something like that where it completely changes the whole system. That's something a little bit different. You may see some gains there, but honestly, fuel filters are beginning to be built equal. And I know that, you know, someone who sells Canon filters may say, no, wait a minute, we've got stats to say different. But you know, honestly, they're getting much, much better and they're beginning to equal each other is what I'm saying. It may still have a little bit of an edge if you buy one of the cotton filters that, you know, you can re-oil and they're good for 100,000 miles, et cetera. But yeah, you're right. I think that it's beginning to become more of a level playing field.
So we'll play top 10 rules here. We'll start with 10 maybe.
Yeah, let's do that. And you know what? Let's just plan to make this kind of a quick explanation with each one maybe and you know what we feel about it and then we're on to the next one, okay?
Absolutely.
Let's do it that way. All right, you want to go with number 10?
Yeah, number 10 is avoid idling or don't idle.
Sure. Now, this one, a lot of people there's an argument over this one because there's the whole thing about warming up the car, getting the car, you know, warmed up in the wintertime. How long should you let it idle?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Do you think it's necessary?
Now, you know, I don't come from a cold environment. Mm-hmm. I will tell you that when I have warmed up my car and let it idle in cold weather, it's usually been with the hot air on the defrost so that I can change the temperature of the windshield and make it a little easier to get the ice off.
Easier to scrape.
Yeah.
Okay, that's understood. So you're not necessarily going for warming up the engine to proper operating temperature and trying to make sure that the oil's circulating throughout the whole thing and, you know, all that. Now, we know that oil gets thin.
Right.
I'm sorry, it gets thicker.
Thicker
in cold weather. That's
it
true.
It loses viscosity.
That is true, but you know what? The oil's going to flow through the engine right when you turn the key on. I mean, there's a very, very short amount of time where, you know, some areas may not have oil coating them. Even in thick, you know, even when the oil's thick. And a dramatic difference, there's always going to be an exception.
Yeah.
There's always going to be the someone, you know, in Alaska that it's 40 below actual temperature and the oil is like, you know, thicker than syrup.
Oh, yeah, and they're out there with a hairdryer.
Yeah, or they've got, you know, the heater, you know, the block heater. Or they just let them run 24 hours a day, let them idle. But honestly, a lot of people, you know, kind of fall into this, you know, is 1 minute an appropriate amount of time? Is 10 seconds the amount of time that you let it warm up? I think that, you know, as long as you do keep the revs low, you know, personally, I don't do this. I even in cold weather, my hand was going right from the key from starting the vehicle over to the gear shift, mm-hmm. To put it in reverse and back out of the garage or, yeah. you know, the driveway. And honestly, I don't see much benefit to letting the car idle other than wasting fuel. Mm-hmm. If you keep the revs low, if you don't overtax the engine immediately as soon as you leave the driveway.
Now, I know I'm going to sound way too thrifty on this, but we have a lot of traffic in our city.
Mm-hmm.
So this is another case where it's very easy to spend a great deal of time idling in traffic.
Oh, and we both do.
We both absolutely do. So sometimes I just pull over or I leave work a little later.
You know what I think is a bad idea?
What's that?
Shutting the car off in traffic.
That's a – you know, people have recommended that sometimes. That's a terrible idea.
It's
dangerous.
I think that's people that adhere to this 10-second rule because if they say, well, I'm going to be idling more than 10 seconds, I'm turning the car off. And it is cheaper to start it up again. It's not like the old carbureted cars where, you know, you had to fill the line, fill the float, make sure that it started – you know, you're not using more fuel to start the car than you did to idle that 10 seconds. So some people say if I'm going to be parked and I can see ahead, I'm going to turn the car off. But to me, that just may leave you stuck in traffic. I mean, there's an off chance that it's not going to start again for whatever reason. It could be 10 other reasons that the car doesn't start up
sure.
again.
Sure, yeah. It's one of those things where the risk outweigh the benefits.
All right, so don't idle. That's number 10.
Number 9?
Number 9, running the air conditioner. Now – this is one that you maybe have the greatest opposition to.
Yeah. So the idea here is that after a certain speed, it becomes more fuel efficient to have your windows up and your air conditioning on because you're reducing drag.
That's absolutely true.
That is absolutely true. And then the other idea is that when you're below this speed threshold, it's more efficient to keep your windows down and rely on those to provide your ventilation and your fresh air.
Correct.
I disagree when it is summer in the South.
Mm-hmm.
And in other very hot climates, especially if they're very humid, the way that Atlanta tends to be,
mm-hmm.
You can have your windows down and it will just be miserable.
Yeah. You know, I was just last week in Michigan, and the actual temperature was something like 102 or 100,
wow.
maybe it's 100. But the car thermometer, the digital readout read 102 actual temperature.
Jeez.
So, you know, awful darn hot. Still wanted to keep the windows up, of course. But when you get down here into the South and you talk about like Florida and Alabama and Louisiana and Georgia, the humidity will just suck the life right out of you. You have to – that's the other thing that the air conditioner does. It removes the humidity from the air, and it's so much better. It just feels so much better to be in – even in a parked car
mm-hmm.
Than to have the windows down, and you have like what amounts to almost like a blast from an oven
mm-hmm.
Coming through the window. It's hot air blowing on you, and it's very unpleasant. So I don't know. I agree with this one. You know, in certain locations that running the air, sometimes you just have to.
Yeah, that's the thing. We're not saying this tip is not accurate.
Mm-hmm.
We're just saying that you have to pay for it.
No,
man.
The point of this one was running the air and fuel savings. And definitely you're saving fuel if you've got the windows down at low speeds
mm-hmm.
and on highway, you know, on highway speed or at highway speeds.
Yeah.
You've got the windows up in order to reduce drag, but you've got the AC on. You're still benefiting. You're still gaining mileage.
Mm-hmm.
By doing that, you're much more fuel efficient if you're doing that.
And speaking of speed and fuel, that takes mm-hmm. us to number 8, driving 55 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I need your input on this, speed demon.
My input? Not even so much speed demon, really, is that 55 is – now, we're talking about highway speeds, of course,
right.
driving 55. Because some people – you know, you'll notice that – Around here, you know, just about every city, really,
mm-hmm.
you find that everybody pushes that speed limit up quite a bit. I mean, people are traveling at 70, 75, 80 miles an hour.
Yeah, the average, I think, in Atlanta would probably be more between 65 and 75.
Yeah, it's like 125 average speed here in Atlanta. So people are traveling at a high rate of speed. But you'll find that, you know, there's actually an ideal speed for every vehicle based on the way the car is designed, the engine size, the rolling resistance. You know, there's this ideal speed for every single vehicle, and it's individual.
And you can – there is literally an equation you can use to calculate this speed.
That's right.
Which is on our website. Hint, hint.
Yeah. We're not going to cover that right now. So take a look at howstuffworks.com and find that. But that speed can vary anywhere between 40 and 60 miles per hour. It's a dramatic difference in vehicles and the way the car is built and the way it's shaped and the way – you know, the size of the tires and the inflation that's there. It's different for every car. Now, when you go up, let's say that you are driving 55.
Sure.
This is kind of a stat that's kind of a baseline that you can just think about it this way. If you're going from – if you're going 55 and then you jump up to 65, typically you're using about 15% more fuel in that same amount of time. So you're losing 50 – or you're decreasing your fuel efficiency by about 15% going from just 55 to 65. Now, beyond that, it goes up even more because you're fighting wind resistance. You're fighting, again, rolling resistance. There's a lot of different force factors involved here. But, again, driving 55, not always possible. In fact, sometimes it's dangerous to drive 55. In our city, it's dangerous to drive 55 on the highway.
So do it if you can. In some places, it may not be practical, to be honest with you, which goes back to, speaking of city driving, let's go to number 7. Don't drive like a maniac.
I like the title on that one.
I like the title,
it's
too.
It's actually – the page title is Don't Drive Like a Maniac.
But what they're really talking about is the acceleration-deceleration problem.
That's right.
Or the conundrum, I guess. So
the hare and the tortoise.
Yeah. If you're one of the people like me, so you will – in a two-lane road at an intersection, if you want to get around people and there's nobody in the other lane, you'll get next to the other car, right? Mm-hmm. I know you totally do that too, right?
Sure.
And it's not a race or anything all the time.
No.
It's just a way to go a little faster so you don't have to wait for the next person.
Yes.
But if you are accelerating, I think our article says peeling out as soon as the light turns green, and then you get to another light and you have to slam on your brakes, you're not getting the highest efficiency out of your car.
Exactly. Now, the person that is getting the highest efficiency is the one that accelerates slowly, maybe doesn't even have to brake. Now, in a timed light situation in the city.
That's tough.
It's easier.
Is it?
It's easier if you're able to time it. It's tough if you get into the cycle where you're hitting every red light.
Oh, no, wait. It's easier if you know the timing.
If you know the timing and the traffic conditions allow for it, because oftentimes, you know the timing, you know that the lights are timed, but you're in traffic that just doesn't allow it to happen. It's start, stop. It's unavoidable.
Yeah.
There's only certain times when that really works. And, the volume has a lot to do with it. Traffic volume.
Yeah.
But you know what? I've seen this so many times. You've even seen this in kids' cartoons. Where someone's super speedy and they just accelerate really hard from the light and they have to slam on the brakes at the next light, and the guy that's kind of puttering along in the comical little jalopy, he's just slow and steady, just right straight through everyone, never slows down, never stops, never accelerates. Mm-hmm. And then, soon enough, the guy in the speedy car, his fuel gauge is on empty, and the car is making that chugging noise that, they make it make, and coughing and wheezing, and maybe the tongue hangs out in the front of the car.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then the other guy, he looks at his fuel gauge and it's still halfway full.
He's got that green light zen.
Exactly. And just goes right past it. So again, it's like the tortoise and the hare thing.
Mm-hmm.
Slow and steady wins the race. That's true. When you're talking about don't drive like a maniac, but acceleration, think of it as if you've got an egg between your foot and the pedal.
Nice.
And you're accelerating.
Nice.
Think of it that way. Just slow and easy, and you'll definitely save fuel. It's not always so easy to do. I can't do it. I've tried, and it lasts about maybe 2 or 3 lights, and then I'm done. I'm over it.
Yeah, I do try to do my best. I got a lot better about deceleration, but I am still trying to work on my foot when it comes to acceleration.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe I should actually put an egg under my foot.
Maybe. I still have the urge to hit the gas when you're going downhill for some reason.
Yeah, yeah.
What's that all about?
I don't know, man. I love roller coasters. Okay.
Thrilling.
This one, the next one, number 6, is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. This is actually a list of several things. It's hypermiling.
Yeah, we're on number 6 and it's hypermiling. And I got to tell you right up front, we've had a hypermiling podcast where we said this at the time. Some of these are really bad ideas.
Yeah.
As far as safety.
My least favorite is drafting, which they do mention in this list. Drafting can be really dangerous.
Yeah. Drafting is one of the ones that, where you get close behind a vehicle and the force pulls you along.
Yeah. You're just sort of riding their wake.
Yeah, exactly. drafting just as in racing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at this list here. On the list in the article only has about five, maybe six. And, I can't pick one that I like the least.
We really drill down into hypermiling in one of our earlier shows.
Yes.
Hypermiling is less like one fuel saving tip and more like a lifestyle choice.
Exactly.
For some people.
This is a dramatic driving, correction, really.
Yeah.
If you haven't been taught these from the very beginning, a lot of these are tough to really get a grasp on. They're tough to do because, like Ben said, it's like a lifestyle change, really, when you come down to it, because you do some things automatically, and this kind of – some of these are counterintuitive.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things are – we just mentioned drive 55. 55 would be like the maximum speed that a hypermiler would drive.
Yeah.
Never go beyond that. No AC and windows up, Ben. In all situations.
To reduce the friction.
That's in low-speed situations. That's in high-speed situations. Now, we're talking – that's pretty extreme. Windows up, no AC. That's – well.
We also talked about turning off your car in traffic.
Yeah.
Which hypermilers do.
At a stoplight even. If you're going to stop at a light for anything, any period of time, they shut off the car. The other one is coasting with the car off, which is a terrible idea to me.
Yeah.
That affects your steering, your braking. There's a lot of things that don't work when you shut that car off, and you got to really be aware of what does and does not work when you switch that key off.
Yeah.
Big one. Big safety issue.
Overinflating tires also.
Also safety issue.
Yeah.
Now, it may save you some fuel, with rolling resistance. And you can buy special low rolling resistance tires now.
Yeah.
But overinflating your tires to get the same effect – not so good.
Yeah, because imagine how slow your car is going to be when those tires pop.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, you hit a – no, that's right. Yeah, and you hit a pothole or you hit a curb and you're more or less guaranteed a blowout.
Now, I know it sounds like we're really dogging on hypermiling, but I'm a fan of a lot of it in moderation.
Mm-hmm.
There's some really good arguments, and one of them is actually number five, cleaning out your trunk.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a simple one.
Yeah.
That's the easiest one maybe is just don't carry all that weight around. That's what it comes down to. It comes down to reducing the weight that your car is carrying. It's very, very, it's just so logical to me. It's one of the basic principles that you should follow is that you don't need to be carrying around extra stuff that you really don't need to cart all over town.
Unless it's absolutely necessary, like my collection of vintage bricks and dumbbells.
Very important. Very important to have those. Yeah, that's right. And historic bricks, things like that.
Yeah. Just taking the weight off of your vehicle will increase your weight to power ratio or power to weight ratio, and will make your vehicle run noticeably more efficiently, especially if you have a bunch of junk in there.
Mm-hmm. You lift weights?
I do, and I don't as much as I should.
Don't be so shy.
It's
like the gun show over there.
Thank you.
I just don't want to make you mad. You may rip out of that shirt.
Incredible Hulk
style.
Well, actually, I'm out of those shirts. I sent off. They're only made at this one company in China.
All right, let's move on.
All right, yeah. So what's number four?
Number four. Get a tune-up. Now, I don't know about this one. I'm going to say that, maintenance is important always.
Right.
Getting a tune-up, yeah, sure, it's going to save you some fuel, because you're getting better, your spark is better if you get better new spark plugs.
Yep.
Electronic ignitions, things like that, these have really come a long way in helping fuel economy because it's computers that map out the programs for how your car runs and how fuel efficient it is really – or the way it burns fuel, I should say.
Mm.
So that has come a long way as far as electronic ignition over distributors ignition systems.
Definitely.
But the plugs and the wires and everything like that, that's still very important. And what normally comes with a tune-up is air filters, which you mentioned earlier,
yep.
Oil change, things like that, keeping the fluids fresh.
Right.
All that's vital. Keep your car running as smooth as possible.
Now, that's a really good point because you should get a tune-up. You need to take care of your car.
Mm-hmm.
You should not expect it to make your car 30% more efficient
That's where I'm seeing the problem. This is kind of more of a, keep it running smoothly and it'll, it won't fail you.
Right.
You know, you'll notice, you may even not even notice the gains. It may be that minor, but you will gain some miles mm-hmm. per gallon in the long run. You know, maybe per tank full.
Yeah.
You're going to notice a little bit of a gain.
Stretches a little bit further.
Exactly. But it's not going to be so dramatic that you're going to say, wow, I just filled up, I haven't filled up since last month and it must be this new tune-up.
I'll tell you, the next one is kind of dramatic.
What's that?
At least in my experience. Number three, checking your tires.
Mm-hmm. This is a big one.
This is a big one. I used to have a slow leak in the back right tire of my vehicle. And because this was an underinflated tire, I noticed that I was filling up the gas tank more often.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't an egregious leak. I never let it get really flat or anything. Mm-hmm. And then I did end up getting new tires. I just got the back two because I'm lazy.
Yeah.
Sidebar, you should try to always get – all four tires.
Well,
at once.
Two or four.
Two or four. I know, but I really did go a little bit too thrifty.
Yeah.
So you can, when you have these at the proper inflation, you can really save some gas.
Can I mention something here?
Yeah.
You said you had a slow leak.
Yeah.
And other people that, you know, maybe there's a weather change because the pressure in your chair and your tires changes with the weather.
Good call.
With the heat and with the cold. Now, a lot of times, you know, your tire may look a little bit low. By the time it gets to the point where it looks a little bit low, you'd be surprised if you put a gauge on that tire.
There's no pressure.
You'd find out that sometimes there's 15 or 20 pounds of pressure in that tire. And that's extremely low because most tires, you know, we're talking 32 pounds, you know, they may go up to the maximum, maybe 44, but you don't want to do that really.
No.
In most cases. But yeah, you'd be surprised how low the pressure is in a tire when it looks low. And you need to catch it before that. So it's one of those things that, you know, you should check often. I know people say it all the time, but it really does. This makes a big, big difference in fuel and, you know, the amount of fuel that you use. And honestly, you know, you just don't understand how low it is until you really put a gauge on it and find out. And you know, I think a lot of people who do this, and I'm going to say that there are several people out there that'll be shocked how low their fuel or rather their tire pressure is when they check it finally.
And the scary part is when you put the fuel gauge up there to reinflate the tire, and then you think you're adding a little bit of air, but the gauge doesn't even move.
Yeah.
You're basically driving a flat tire.
Yeah, that's right. It's incredible. And it'll take a long time before the car you actually see that tire start to inflate, physically see it inflate and lift the vehicle up a little bit. That's always kind of an eye opener.
What's your take on number two? I really want to hear you talk about this one.
Number two. All right. This is, invest in a fuel efficient car. Okay. I can just break this down into two quick sentences.
Sure.
This doesn't necessarily have to be a hybrid car. Okay. That's the first thing. The second thing is that, you know, when we say a fuel efficient car, invest in a fuel efficient car, it doesn't mean hybrid, but something better than what you've got right now. That will make the biggest difference. I mean, I understand that, you know, you can't always go out and buy a new car that's more efficient than the one you got because they're always making more efficient cars.
Absolutely.
But, you know, let's say that you've got a 10-year-old Honda that you want to replace with a new Honda because you like that car. You're going to find that it's going to be a dramatic increase in fuel. And you're talking apples to apples comparison. We're not talking about buy a hybrid because, you know, we've had this discussion where we talked about, you know, paying a premium up front, how long it takes to regain recapture that savings in fuel costs. And it's a very long time.
Yeah.
Even with fuel prices high. But my take is on it that, you know, when we say this, yeah, I agree with that statement, but it doesn't have to be a hybrid because everybody jumps to that conclusion. It has to be a hybrid. That's not what we're saying.
Right. It could also be there are some pretty good diesel models that would be more fuel efficient.
Some great diesel models out there now.
And there are also there's a number of ways to make a vehicle more fuel efficient, and they do not rely exclusively on hybrid technology.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we're saying hybrids are bad. Please delete the email you're about to send.
No, not at all. And honestly, you can buy a used car that would be more efficient than the one you've got.
Absolutely.
There's a ton of different ways to look at this. I mean, if you're going from a great big gas-sucking V8 engine to a four-cylinder, even a six-cylinder, you're going to save fuel there.
And if you want to be sure about that, you can also run the formula we mentioned earlier about your car's ideal speed for fuel economy.
Sure. You could check the EPA estimates and get a general idea of what it should be getting or what your car does get versus what the new one will get. Even if it's a used car, you know, those numbers go far back. You can trace some of these things and find out what it was rated at.
And now we need a drum roll because we're up to number one. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
You do it.
Drive less.
Wait, what?
Oh, come on. That's number one.
Can we have a
drive less?
Can we have an anticlimactic sound?
Oh my gosh. Wah, 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 wah. Wah. Yeah, that's it. How about that? That's good enough. Duh.
It's true. It's like that riddle. Who's buried in Grant's tomb?
Yeah, okay.
Grant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So obviously you will, save money on gas if you don't drive as much.
Sorry, Ben. I'm just underenthused about this one because it kind of goes against what I believe and that I try to be in my car at every moment I can.
Mm-hmm.
I love to drive. Boy, this gets so deep because we start talking about like, you know, public transportation and alternative fuels and alternative ways to get around, you know, bicycling you know, electric vehicles. And we talk about all this stuff all the time, but I love to drive and I've got a car that I love driving and it's, you know, regular gasoline engine.
Mm-hmm.
Not extremely efficient, but relatively efficient.
Yeah.
But I like to spend a lot of time behind the wheel. This drive less is hard for me. I like to drive more. I'd like to drive more than I do now.
I drive for fun. I really miss the days when I'm dating myself here. I really miss the days when gas was at a price that allowed me to just fill up the tank a couple times and drive as far as I could in a few days off and then just turn around and drive back.
Yeah.
You have to think a lot more carefully about how you spend money now.
I love doing that. And you know what? And honestly, to be realistic about this, I mean, the title of the article is 10 Real Ways to Save Fuel, and there's no better way to save fuel than to drive less.
Yes, well played, How Stuff Works.
It really is. Yeah. I mean, it sounds so basic and so elementary, you know, that's what you do. You just leave the car parked. Or maybe you don't even own a car. Sell the car. How about that? That's number one. Sell the car.
Now, here's something I will say that is kind of in defense of point number one. A lot of people and listeners, you know who you are kind of bad about driving when they could walk.
Mm.
And I'm talking to the people who go into very large shopping complexes, you know, where you have a clothing store, you have a retail store, grocery store, and they're spread out and they have various different parking areas.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to drive. I'm not going to name any names, though I know some people, I'm sure you do, who do this. You don't have to, if you park at store A, and store B is within like sight distance and not even an 8 minute walk or something. Do you really need to drive the parking lot?
8 minutes. Some of these are 45 seconds away if you walk.
Right, right. Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. I get it. But, and, I understand.
That's such a small thing. Admittedly, it would take a very, very long time to add up into concrete fuel savings.
What if it's raining or snowing?
What if it's raining or snowing? What if it's hot in summer in Atlanta, man? As we said, these don't apply to everyone.
Dress appropriately.
Yeah.
That would be your answer.
I don't know. It is true, though. Drive less. Hey, you know what I wish?
Did you say an 8 minute walk?
Yeah.
I'd be exhausted. I'd have to stop off for like a Coney dog on the way, maybe, or oxygen.
Yeah.
8 minutes.
Oh, have you seen that Coney dog and oxygen stand?
That's perfect. That's perfect for me. Where is it?
It's amazing that go together.
Great.
Okay. So until we get some good zorbing lines in Atlanta.
nice.
Yeah. Want to try it. Until we get some good zorbing lines in Atlanta, we're going to have to apply these tips. And these are real ways to save fuel.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to apply these tips as we can to our vehicles. And we hope, wherever you're listening, that you're learning some useful things that you can apply. You probably already knew a lot of these, to be honest with you, listeners. But maybe this will inspire you to, do what I did. Take your dumbbells and your brick collection out of your trunk.
That's very good advice for anybody.
There's a lot of mobile brick
collectors. And collect better things.
Collect lighter things.
No, better things.
Oh, come on, man.
Okay.
I love those bricks.
Sorry.
No, but
hey, you know what? You have one. I got another, I'm just keeping interrupting.
Yeah,
I got another flash. I got an idea.
What?
I got an idea. You know what we should do?
What?
We should have a podcast soon about, hoaxes. Fuel saving hoaxes, like things that don't work.
Oh, like oil you add in your car.
We have an article on fuel saving devices that have turned out to be hoaxes. And I think people might be interested in that because, you know, some people may be saying like, well, what if I add one of those spinning vortex air intakes? Is that going to work?
Yeah.
You know, that may, or the mystery oil that I need to add to my fuel every month. You know, that seems to work real well. So, maybe we should do something like that too.
I think that's a great idea.
We've given them real ways to save fuel. Yeah. Maybe we should tell them some of the ways that don't work.
And you know what? This could be cool. Tell you what, guys, we are going to do that one. We want to hear from you before we go on the air because we'd love to listen to your stories about hoaxes for saving fuel.
Not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea, eh? So help us out. Drop us a line on Facebook and Twitter and check out our website if you'd like to read the article to get some more detail on this. And if you want to help us out with our upcoming hoaxes episode, send us a line with your favorite fuel-saving hoax at
carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes.